in Tarawih Salam. And this famous ayat normally in the month of Rajab, where ulama expound regards to the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that purity belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who took his servant at night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and whose precincts we have blessed, so that we can show you our signs, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We understand that this miraj was a journey in a state of wakefulness, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi was taken to the Hatim, and over there his chest was cut open, his heart removed and washed with zamzam. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi was taken with a baraq from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then we know when he reaches Masjid al-Aqsa, and then he meets all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. He performs the salah over them. And from there he goes up towards each heaven. There again he meets different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, till he goes in the barga and the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confers to him the gift of salam. And day after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes back. And then the polytheists and the mushrikeen of Makkah, the Quraysh, started taunting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to his journey of Miraj. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously showed him the picture and image of Baytul Muqaddas. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to answer the questions that were put forth to him with regards to the description of Masjid al-Aqsa. Similarly, on this journey also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed many scenes of Jannat and Jahannam. So this was a very great journey and a great miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to the Bani Israel, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, that we have ordained to the Bani Israel in the Kitab that they will cause mischief on the earth twice. And وَلَا تَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, and they will reach heights of arrogance. So yeah, in regards to Masjid al-Aqsa, which is a very, very important place in our hearts, that the third haram, which is also sacred in our hearts, and it is a very blessed place as well. Many, many rewards are promised for a person going there and performing salah. We know the du'as of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam for putting ihram from there, so great rewards. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to the Bani Israel. And in the two divine codes, the first code of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a person by the name of Bukhta Nasr. When the Bani Israel had transgressed the bounds, then this person, he caused a lot of havoc, and he even desecrated the Masjid al-Aqsa, and he imprisoned many people and took them away. Thereafter, after some time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored the former days of glory to the Bani Israel, and they enjoyed bliss and prosperity, thereafter again they forgot the blessings of Allah and started engaging in all types of nashukri, ungratefulness and disobedience. Thereafter, during the code, Sharia code of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, a Roman person by the name of Titus, He launched a prolonged attack from land and sea. And he also did the same thing with regards to Masjid al-Aqsa, desecrated it, left it desolate. And this was still at the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And thereafter we know the incident of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, without waging any war, etc. The keys were given to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And thereafter the Crusaders invaded it. Then Hazrat Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi again liberated Masjid al-Aqsa. And this person should understand also that in this verses ulama explain that there are two divine systems with regards to protection of both the Qiblas. The Masjid al-Haram in Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken upon himself to protect it. We know the Ashabi feel how they were destroyed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in detail in Alam Tara. And thereafter with regards to Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left it to the actions of man. If a person does good, that means in our days that it is in our hands, And if the Muslims do good actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely protect it. Otherwise, Allah forbid, the day will come when it will leave our hands. And as we are speaking presently, we know that the excavations that are taking place beneath Masjid al-Aqsa, and the Zionists, they want to shake the foundation, weaken the foundation, so that na'uzubillah, that Masjid al-Aqsa can crumble, and then they can build it a mount, the temple mount, or the heikal, what they believe, or from the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And a person should understand also, Masjid al-Aqsa is not only the small place where the masjid, where the first person performs salah, but in fact the entire compound, every inch of it is worthy of respect and reverence. So we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our Harameen Sharifeen and also Masjid al-Aqsa. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to certain verses of the Quran al-Kareem, with regards to respect to parents, where Allah says that we have ordained for you, your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ordained, that you do not worship anyone except Him. Now, in so many ayats of the Quran al-Kareem, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of His obedience, then immediately after that, mention is made with regards to obedience to parents. وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that you be kind and good to one's parents. And if any one of them, or both of them, or any one of them reach old age, at that time when they become old, they might irritate a person, and they might trouble a person, then أُكِلَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا, at that time make sabr, and do not tell them uff. In our time, do not tell them akh, and make certain statements, or show a frowning face, etc. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, do not reproach them, do not scold them, but believers, tell them, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, tell them good words, kind words, and lower for them, you know, the wings of humility and rahmah and mercy, and make this dua, وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا, that oh Allah, have mercy upon both of them, just as they have seen to me when I was small. Remember when you were small, how they looked after you, how you messed your, when you had messed yourself, and he was there, your mother was there to look after you, to change you, etc. Similarly, sometimes conditions will come when they have to also be looked after. So consider that when you were small, how they looked after you. And this is something very, very important. And this is Allah's system, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that barru abaakum, that be good to your parents, then tabarrukum abanaukum, then your children will be good to you. This system Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established, that if you go be good to your parents, then the system will carry on, your children will be good to you. And also to such an extent with regards to parents, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that even if they force you to commit shirk, then don't do so. But وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, but even if they are your parents are mushrikeen, even if though they are polytheists or kuffar, even then too, you should go show good contact towards them. And there are so many ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person came to ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the rights of your parents? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are either your jannat or jahannam. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person is good to his parents or one of his parents, then either two doors or one door of jannat is open for that person. And if he is disobedient, disrespectful to their parents, then either two doors or one door of Jahannam is open for him every day. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the regards to those people who are very, very wasteful. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that those people who waste and they are the brothers of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love such people. Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifin, that Allah does not love people who waste. And this wasting comes in many things. We understand wasting money. Today, unfortunately, how many weddings, walima, etc., not thousands, hundreds of thousands of rands are spent that to impress people that my daughter is getting married, or my son is getting married, I want to make the best nikah, talk of the town, etc. how much of money he spent. Similarly, with regards to food, wastage of food, wastage of water, where is Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reprimanded him, even wasting water at the stream. So imagine our times wasting water at the wuzu khana, wasting water in the masjid, the electricity, the lights, the air cons, everything, wastage of food, everything, and also wastage of time. This is an amanat, and this is a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things are bounties of Allah. وَلَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And you'll be questioned on the day of Qiyamah about these bounties. Especially in the month of Ramadan, we should look after our time. Do not waste our times in futile things. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. That do not even approve zina because it is very, very shameless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not mention that وَلَا تَزْنُوا. Do not commit zina. But Allah mentions very clear cut, do not even come close to zina. All those avenues that lead towards zina, stay away from it. And it is mentioned in the hadith that every portion of a person's body has a share of zina. The eyes commit zina by looking, casting lustful glances. The ears commit zina by listening to alluring talks. And the tongue commits zina by talking in a very seductive way. And the feet is the one that walks towards zina. The hands that touch a mahram woman, that is zina. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the private parts either confirms it or rejects it. And there are great, great punishments that are mentioned in the hadith. We know on Mi'raj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came across a certain pit, which resembled a pit. And in there were males and females who were naked. And there was a raging fire from beneath. And every time now and then they started screaming. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, O Jibreel, who are these people? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed, these are adulterers and adulteresses from your ummah, those men and women who committed adultery, and they are being punished in this way. Similarly, with regards to punishment in this world, if the had had to be established, Sharia law, if a person had fornicated, in other words, if a person was not married and he fulfilled his desires in a haram manner, then he will have to be lashed 100 times. And if this person was a married person, he or she, they were married, then they will have to be stoned to death. So this person should understand that where does it start off? Many a time it starts with the eyes not controlling our gaze. That is why Allah tells us, كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that, O people, believing men, lower your gaze. الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, even the believing woman, that lower your gaze. And this ذَلِكَ أَسْكَى لَهُمْ, this is more purer for you. In other words, this will save you from many, many gunas, especially with regards to zina. Continuing with the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned one ayat that وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَى, that do not walk on the earth with pride and with boastfulness and showing how haughty you are. Why? You cannot cleave the earth. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَى إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ. You cannot cleave the earth. وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا, and neither can you reach the heights of the mountain. So Allah does not love such people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَارٍ فَخُورٍ. Those people who are haughty and those who are arrogant, and they walk in such a way, they strutter and they walk and they show with a bounce that they are someone, and with their chest out. It is mentioned one person that Mutraf rahmatullah Ali, a person came to him walking in a very stylish manner, and he's telling him, like, how is often do you know who I am, and showing that I'm someone. So Mutraf told him, yes, I know who you are. And then he said, who I am? He said, your beginning was a drop of sperm, napak sperm, and you were in the mother's womb with regards to the mother's blood, the menses of the blood you were developed, and your end result will be a dirty, stinking corpse. And in between the beginning and the end is that you have filth in your stomach. So then this person understood, he made his islah and he understood his identity. So a person should avoid walking and rather walk with humility. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Man tawadha lillah rafa'ahu Allah. That person adopts humility and tawazu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to shaitan, a person should understand that wastafziz man istata'ta min bisawtik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells shaitan that an entice with your voice amongst those who you can. And in other words, those who love music. That shaitan, this is his call, this is his dawah, to entice people through music. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that definitely this refers to music. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned a hadith, bu'ithu, that I have been sent to destroy musical instruments. But how sad that in front of Rosa Mubarak, that music is being played via the cell phones and so many masajid, that cell phones, the ringing tones. One is a person has a normal tone, but yeah, we are talking about the latest Bollywood, Hollywood music on their ringtones. And not only they are getting guna, but they are causing other people to listen to him. So in every aspect, a person will get guna with regards to his music. And these people who love music will be the followers of Dajjal. The music is such, it causes nifaq to grow in a heart, just like water causes crops to grow. And everywhere a person goes today, whether it is in a train, at the platforms of the train, airports, whether it is the mall, etc., to such an extent, even in a hospital, and very fortunate those people that who, at the time of childbirth, they tell the people of the music, so that that the music does not enter the ears of the little newborn child. That is why we are told to give azan in the right ear and iqamat in the left ear. Why we want to indoctrinate that child and in every recess of the person's, the child's heart, every vein, fiber, that the takbir, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should enter in the system of the child. And a person should save himself. And is mentioned Hazrat Nafi radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when once he was listening to music was being playing, he trusted his fingers into the ear and he went far away and he's asking Nafi, Atasma ya Nafi, Atasma ya Nafi. A couple of times he told him, can you hear this music? Can you hear this music? Till Hazrat Nafi radiallahu anhu told him that no, I can't hear. Then only did he remove his fingers from his ears. So much of precaution he took with regards to listening to music. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned on a day of Qiyamah, يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. They will call and summon every person with their imams, in other words their leaders. Here it refers to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And فَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابُ بِيَمِينِ, that those people who be glad and give their kitabs in their right hands, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَقْرَؤُونَ كِتَابَهُمْ, and then they will read the kitabs. Just like a person has a good report, a person in Marissa has a good report, then he'll tell everyone, هَاوْ مُقْرَؤُ كِتَابِيَا, come see my report, look at my results, how good it is. And on the other hand, that person, Allah forbid, Allah save us, that person who's given his kitab, his book of deeds in his left hand, and he will say, Ya laytani lam uta kitabya, if only I wasn't given this kitab. So yeah, a person who not even oppressed in any way, wala yudlamuna fatila. Yeah, the word fatila means, just like a person opens a kajur, the date put, in the slit of that kajur, that put, there is a white substance over there, you can hardly notice it. Even to that extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even to that extent, you will not be, any injustice will be committed against you. So you're very fortunate, those people who will be given the books of deeds in their right hand. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the end of Surah Bani Israel, Allah mentions a verse, قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ ذُو الرَّحْمَانِ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Yeah, the background of this verse is, on occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman. So the mushrikeen said, and they said, what is wrong with this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'uzu billah, that he tell us to believe in Allah, now he tell us to bring another deity, that is Rahman. So Allah says that Allah has beautiful names, أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whichever name you call unto him, he has beautiful names. And we know the 99 names, beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whichever one we call unto, we are in reality calling unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah says, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تَخَافِدْ بِهَا, that do not read so loud or in your salah, neither so softly, but وَابْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. It is mentioned that on one occasion, a person was climbing a mountain, and he started reading like takbir, Allahu Akbar, very, very loudly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that Allah is not so far, and Allah is not so, he's not deaf that he can't hear you, and absent that he can't hear you. So, read the takbir in a soft manner. Similarly, with regards to this, that on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was at the time of tahajjud, he passed by the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he was reciting Quran very, very softly. And thereafter, he passed the house of Umar radiallahu anhu, where he was reading Quran very, very loudly. The next day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, O Abu Bakr, when I passed your house, could I hear you? You were reading so softly. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, the one who I'm whispering to, he can hear me. And thereafter, as he asked Umar radiallahu anhu said, that I want to chase shaitan and chase the sleep away that was disturbing me. That's why I was reading very, very loudly. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told both of them, but وَبْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا, seek a way in between, not so loud and not too softly. In other words, in a moderate tone. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now you mentioned regards to Suratul Kaf. And we know Suratul Kaf is a very, very important surah. Yeah, the fazilat is mentioned that person who reads Suratul Kaf on a day of Jummah, on a day of Friday, then he'll personally be saved from many, many fitnas. And if Dajjal had to appear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him from the trials and tribulations of Dajjal. Another hadith mentioned that if he reads on the Jummah, from this Jummah to the following Jummah, a nur will accompany him. In other words, his heart will be illuminated. And in yet another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this light, a light will appear and from his feet right till the skies, and this will protect him, inshallah, from gunas, etc. Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mia rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that he had made great research of the Suratul Kaf, and he came to this conclusion that the surah, it points out that there is always being a battle between ruhaniyat and madiyah. In other words, between spirituality and materialism. And thereafter he said that this surah has a great connection with regards to the evils and trials of the latter era, especially at the time of Dajjal. And this, in fact, the surah prepares one for the coming of Dajjal. So this surah is very, very important. And in the people of the Ashab al-Kahf, Allah mentioned, أَمْ حَسِبْتَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَالْ مِنْ آيَاتٍ عَجَبًا. That do you think that the people of Ashab al-Kahf and the Raqeem, do you think that these signs were very, very strange? No, the answer is no. Why? The answer is given later on. So who are these people, Ashab al-Kahf? Who are the Raqeem? The Ashab al-Kahf were approximately about 7 youngsters. And Raqeem is the ulama saying it was a certain tablet in which they were inscribed the names that were written on a certain tablet which was hung on at the entrance of the cave. Where Allah mentions is our fityatu ila al-kahfi, when those youngsters took refuge in a cave and they said, Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma. O Allah, grant us your mercy and facilitate and grant us guidance in our matters. And it is mentioned with regards to this qissa, there was a certain person by the name of Dikyanus. He was a mushrik and he used to force people to worship idols. So one particular day, there was a celebration that was taking place, and these youngsters saw, then they could not tolerate it, one by one went to a certain spot under a tree, and all of them gathered over there. But they were very, very silent. No one had the courage to speak. Till one person broke the ice, and then he said, there must be some reason why you have gathered over here. Then everyone started owing up. They had this fear, apprehension, perhaps if they open their mouth, then they will be spied to the king, they will be imprisoned, and they will be targeted and being punished. So each one of them echoed the same sentiments of each one, that we have come here on the sole reason that we hate idol worshipping. We are muwahids. We only worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we cannot tolerate this. So all of them decided that we will our own ibadatgah, a place of worship. Thereafter the king was summoned, and the king was made known of this, and then he summoned them to his court, and he told them, what is wrong with you? Who do you worship, etc. Now they stood up. Ithqamu. Now look at the courage of these youngsters. That they had so much of courage, no fear in front of the king of the time. And then they said, فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that we worship Allah, our Rabb is Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and we will not invoke into any other being excites Him. And if we do so, لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذَنْ شَتَطَى, then we are doing a very, very wrong thing. And thereafter, the king had the robes that they were wearing removed from them, and he threatened them. But then he decided that these are still, after all, youngsters, and they are still nadan. So he will give them some time, some respite. Let them think about it, and he let them go. And it was that time then they took refuge in a cave. And Allah Subhanahu wa Taala's qudrat was that they slept in that cave for 309 years. 309 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them in the cave. Why? Because they wanted to protect the iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they wanted to protect their iman, Allah protected them, these youngsters as well. And imagine the qudrat of Allah. That 309 years, the time elapsed outside. But in the cave itself, Allah stopped time. Allah completely stopped time. And Allah mentions so many ayats, signs, and Allah says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, these are the signs of people. For example, Allah mentions very briefly that when the sun used to rise and when it used to set, neither the rays or the sun directly used to come and affect their bodies, neither their clothes. Allah wanted them to be protected, their clothes to be not to be soiled, etc., not to be disturbed. Today we find everywhere climate control, in the caste of climate control. Ya Allah, showing us in those days, Allah made the climate very conducive for them. And thereafter, Allah mentioned that if you have to look at them, you will think you look at them, وَتَحْسَمُ إِقَادُ, you think they are awake, but they were sleeping. In other words, there are no signs of sleep on them. Lest a person come and attack them, if he have to look at them, he will think, no, these people are awake. And they have no signs of sleeping, like a person breathes in, or he snores, etc. No signs of at all to these youngsters. And not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the sides to be turned. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned it will happen once or twice a year, the sides used to turn. Just like a mother that is lulling her son or a small baby and she's in a cot, and from side to side now and then the mother will change it. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the intizam that Allah changed the sides from this side to that side so that they also could not be consumed by the earth. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even caused the dog. This dog was either the dog of the cook or the hunting dog. And the dog was at the cave, the entrance of the cave, with his paws stretched out. So here also, so much most of protection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ashab al-kaf. And on this point also, a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dog in Surah Kaf, in the Quran al-Kareem, that he adopted the company of the people of ashab al-kaf. And it is mentioned also, imagine if a person, we human beings, adopt the company of the pious people, what will be our rank? In some kitab is also mentioned there will be certain animals that will be raised up in Jannah. Amongst them, it will mention that this dog also will be raised up in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, if we had to look at them, then a person will flee away, will be overawed by looking at them in the state how they were sleeping, etc. How much of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took protection of them. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when they woke up after 309 years, now they woke up in the, when they went to sleep, it was in the morning. And when they got up, then it was in the evening. So they thought to themselves, maybe we slept part of the day. So they appointed one person by the name of Tamlikha to go to the town to get food. Here also we learn another thing where he told them, فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَسْكَى طُعَامًا, that go and get pure food. Even because when they, at the time when the oppressive king, Yanus was ruling, then many people slaughtered animals other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yeah, he did not tell them go to the pizza parlor or go to the nearest takeaway, but he told them, no, look how conscious they were with regards to halal, tayyib, and a pure food. Thereafter, when the incident is mentioned, when his youngster brings a silver coin, and he presents it to the shopkeeper, the shopkeeper is taken aback. He said, "What is this? And I cannot recognize him." And then the Tamlika explains that this is the coin I had with me all the time. You have to accept it. So the shopkeeper retains him. And then he goes and tells the king. And that time the king, who was a muwahid, he was a true believer. His name was Baydusis. And he was a very righteous king. And Allah had planned it such that during his era there were a group of people who denied life after death. And on one occasion he wore rag clothes. And he went and sat on a certain spot and he made dua to Allah. Allah, show some sign so that these people can believe that there is life after death. So subhanallah, Allah proved it to them with the story of Ashabu Kaf. Then when the king was informed, the Tamlika told him the entire episode. Then he called for the Raqim and he asked for all the names that were inscribed on that tablet. And he called, and this person named all the names. And true to the word, every name corresponded to that person in the Ashabu Kaf. Thereafter the king took people with him to show them that this life after death is possible. They come and then Tamlika goes and inform them that come outside, the new king wants to meet you. They meet the king, they become very happy. They are like heroes of the time. And thereafter, when they go back into the cave, then is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the real death. So yeah, there are great lessons to be learned very quickly. That the four lessons from this Ashabi Kaf. First and foremost, that Allah mentioned, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Do not say anything that I'm going to do anything that tomorrow, except with the suffix, inshaAllah, except Allah wills. So this is the ploy of the people of the enemies. They want you to stop remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These simple things like mashaAllah, jazakAllah, inshaAllah, these things a person should take cognizance of and mention these things. This was not only the zikr of Allah, but it shows your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, watlu ma uhiya ilayka min kitabi rabbik. That connected to the Quran the Kareem. This is the rope that will never ever break. So be connected to the Allah, to the rope of Allah. And the ploys of the kuffar is that they want to make you stop reading the Quran the Kareem and get you involved in other things, in magazines, in novels, etc., in technology, in all types of gadgets. The third thing we learn from this, wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal 'ashi. That stick in the company of the pious people. Stick with them and you'll see so much of benefits. And do not have company of those wala tuti' man aghfalna qalbahu an dhikrina. That do not, whose hearts are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his zikr, wattaba hawahu, and they follow the desires. In other words, adopt the company of the pious people. Do not sit in the company of the evil people. And the fourth one we learn, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Then always speak the truth and stand for what is right. That is how the Ashabul Kaf, they stood up and in front of the king, they said that we are worshipping one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did Allah make the intizam for the protection? And then if you speak the truth, then فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whoever will accept, whoever inshallah Allah wills, they will believe you. And whoever the ones, they can deny you. So you do your duty. So there are great lessons we learn from this surah. Allah give us a tawfiq. Every Friday we recite it and we also take lessons from this great surah. InshaAllah. SubhanAllah.